once again, welcome to church. We're glad you're here. I'm the deacon of the week, and I'm Galen Doty. I would like to challenge you this week to start each morning of this week with prayer and a little Bible study. Even if it's just a few verses, start off the day and just see. The challenge is to see if this week is a little better than the other weeks that you've had. So bow with me if you would. Father, we just thank you and thank you for this day and for the opportunity to gather here in your house and to worship. Father, we come not to be entertained, not to be seen or see others, but Father, we come to worship you. I pray, Father, that you would help us to forgive us for pride, for self-assurance, for self-confidence, Father. Our strength comes from you and you alone. I pray that you would be with the pastor as he brings the message. Be with the Sunday school teachers as they bring the lessons. Father, help us to hear what you would say to us individually. And forgive us when we fail you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, would the children come on up for the children's message, please?
I'm going to see. You know, this is only like my third time doing this, so I'm a little nervous about what you put in here. Is it okay? Okay. Is it something I can use, you think? No? Okay. Well, I appreciate your honesty because we are in church, so we want to be honest. So let's see what we have here. Okay. All right. There's something in here somewhere. Is there something in here? Are you sure? Is it in the front? Okay, maybe if I just... Hold on now. Are you sure there's something in here? Here, you find it. I can't find it. I thought you said there's something in there. Aha. Okay. I think the last time I did it, y'all were the ones that tripped me up again with a straw. So you are good. Okay. So we have a flosser. I don't know the exact technical term for it. Okay. So what are these used for? Floss your teeth. That is exactly right. We have to keep them clean, right? All right. So why do we floss our teeth? Because yeah, that's a good reason. That's because somebody said so, right? That's a very good reason. You should always obey. That's another thing. Okay. So we floss our teeth so that there aren't like food particles and we don't get cavities and things like that, right? Because then our teeth fall out and we look funny and, you know, can't eat corn on the cob and bubble gum. And that stinks. So what does the Bible say? You guys know what the Bible says about our bodies? That it's a temple of God. You know what that means? That means that everything we do, we should glorify God. That means that we should, you know, we should stay healthy and we should take care of our bodies and we shouldn't like hurt ourselves, and I can't help that because I'm kind of clumsy and fall on flat surfaces, but some of us, you know, that's the way we're made. So we want to take care of ourselves, and we want to do our best. We want to eat healthy. We want to exercise. We want to take care of ourselves because everything we do will glorify God, right? We want to show people that. So what are some things that we can do that will show that we can glorify God with our bodies? What do you got? Okay, now we're shy. That's okay. I have those moments too. Well, what about using our hands to serve other people? That's glorifying God, isn't it? What about using our feet to go and share the gospel with other people? Using our arms to give a hug to somebody that's having a rough day? Are those all things that we can glorify God doing? I think so. All right, so I don't really know how I got there from this, but somehow I did. So thank you. So there you, I'm going to give that back to you. Is it new or used? Okay. Doesn't. It's over now, so it's okay. just for my curiosity. All right. So, guys, we're going to pray real quick, and we're going to ask God to help us to glorify Him this week, okay? Father, I thank You for this day, and I thank You for bringing all the boys and girls here today, Lord. I just thank You that You have given us all these wonderful gifts, and I ask that You help us to use them for Your glory. Just please watch over us and guide us this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so we have a boy this week. Anybody have a birthday first? You have a birthday? This week? Do you have a birthday this week? You do? No. Okay. All right. Do we have a girl that would like the bag this next week? You want the bag? Okay. You forgot one. Nothing dead, nothing alive. So make sure that's a very important one. And you can be our pastor's pal next week, Lexi. Thank you so much, guys. All right. So I am also going to be doing our Bible Bee recognition. If you guys remember, there was a lot of stuff on the screen for a while about Bible Bee this year. And we had, it was a six-week program where we studied the Bible and we studied specific passages about how we were created to be His servants. It was really neat. The kids learned a whole lot. We had from our church 21 participants, which is pretty awesome. And I think I left my list on my chair, but that's okay. But I wanted to recognize those that are here, and I think we have maybe one that's here this morning out of our 21. Everybody's going to see the eclipse. But it was a really, really cool experience, and the kids learned a lot, and the coaches learned a lot. And so if you happen to be here and I don't see you because you're short, you can come and get your certificate. But I'll go ahead and tell you our participants that we had this year. We had Carissa Compton. That's the one I know is here. Yeah. Okay, we have Abram Doty. We have Chloe Long. We have William Koch. Gavin Howerton. Wyatt Camden. And Claire Camden. Marley Gow. Isaiah Kimball. Noah Kimball. Catherine Grimes. Corbin Doty. Shelby Madole, Bree Madole, Lacey Madole, Nikki Madole, Addison Koch, Madeline Gall, Ethan Gall, and Parker Lowe. So those were our participants this year. I'm really proud of all of them because not all of them actually got to complete the whole study. Because it is very, very intensive. It's tough stuff. But, you know, every one of them learned something. And I told them some of them took the test and some of them didn't at the end. And I said, you guys, if you get three right, that's three things more than you learned before. I would like real quick to have our coaches stand. I know there's a couple of coaches that we had for Bible Bee. So if you're a coach and you helped with Bible Bee, if you would please stand. All right, I've got two. I know there was another one somewhere. There's three. Okay, so I know we have at least three. So, y'all, these coaches spent a lot of time this summer training these kids and teaching them the Bible, and it was really a blessing to do. So it was really great. And we do look forward to next year, so go ahead and start planning to be a part of it next year. So I was also instructed to have one of my Bible Bee participants to read our scripture this morning, but as you can see, there wasn't really very many people here, so I'm going to read it for y'all this morning. Our scripture reading comes from Matthew 15, 21 through 28. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was only sent out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done to me as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly.
Was bought with the precious blood of Jesus.
come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to Would you all stand with us? Let's read aloud together. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the people with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest, God. Our God blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. Psalm 67.
God like you, only a God like you.
time.
Only a God like you. Only a God like you.
To only my Maker.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the opportunity to be in Thy house today. We just thank You for the rain that we've received this evening and throughout the week. We just thank You for the blessings this past week, and we just pray that You would bless the gift here today and the giver. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Well, you all sounded pretty good, and I think you all can be in the choir. Just so you know, you passed the audition. All right. We are going to be starting on Christmas music really soon. So if you want to get involved in a big Christmas music thing that we got, that would be great. I'm just going to introduce this. You all are privileged to see the world premiere of our Pulse group's first ever music video. The students worked really hard on getting a song worked up really well. And we made a little studio back in the room back here, and they recorded it. All the music that you hear is the students playing and singing, and then we went to different locations and filmed. And so this is it. Go ahead and play it.
want to catch we're going to let the credits play behind there. What a great job! I really thank you guys, the Pulse, for doing this. I was thinking as I was watching this, I happened to remember that back in the cabinets, the history cabinets, there's an album. You know what that is? Some of you will still remember vinyl that the students of our church did. That would have been years ago. And so now we have the up-to-date version with the music video. What a great, great, great time and thing there. So I look forward to seeing that again in the second service, and some of the students will probably be present then. and that'll be helpful, too, to get to affirm them. Well, tomorrow is an eclipse. Did you know that? Okay. Just want to make sure that you know that tomorrow's an eclipse. And I was thinking about eclipse and the fact and kind of thinking about it in terms of God's love. And even in the moment of totality, there will be a little ring of sunlight around that shadow. And sin creates an enormous shadow. But God's love continues to shine around the shadow of our sin. And He continues to pursue us until we allow Him to grasp our heart and soul. And so tomorrow, when you are observing the eclipse from wherever you happen to be observing it, just remember, what you will see is a good illustration of God's incredible love for us. It's been said that that's a once-in-a-lifetime event, and for many of us that would be the case because, well, we've been around a while. And it's not going to happen again for a while. But like God's love, His redeeming grace is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And when you understand the depth of His love for us and you give your life over to Christ, that is a once-in-a-lifetime experience that totally transforms your life and your soul and your relationship with Him. And so if you've not had that once-in-a-lifetime transforming experience, then hopefully today you would open your heart and let God speak into you the depth of His love, that you might confess Jesus as Lord and repent and come into a once-in-a-lifetime experience with Christ. And having entered into that relationship, continue a process of grow to honor Him with all the days of your life. And that is our invitation to you today. And if you've never confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, we trust that today you might open your heart to God's incredible love for you. October 31, 1517, Martin Luther, a Catholic priest and the chair of Lectura Biblia at the University of Wittenberg, nailed to the door of a castle church in Wittenberg, Germany, his 95 theses upon indulgences as a preliminary to a theological debate, which never really did happen, but nonetheless, he was setting the stage for it. This act of Luther is generally accepted as the beginning of the Reformation. So, in recognition of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, I'm going to do a series of messages on the solas of the Reformation. And Three of those directly are related to Martin Luther. Two others kind of fit into the whole process. And so I hope that you will be around for each one of those. And today, what we're going to look at this morning, and this is not necessarily order. This is my order that I choose to share them with you, not because it's not the order in which that impacted Luther's life and others, but it's an order that makes sense to me, especially being a Baptist. And so the first is sola scriptura, or the scripture alone is the standard. Scripture alone is the standard. And so each one of us today should affirm that scripture alone is the standard for two reasons. And so that's the simple of this sermon, for two reasons. The first reason is history. This is a really old book. Well, not this particular one. It's only about 6 years old. But the Bible is a really old book. It's been around thousands of years. It was centuries in the making as God inspired people, men, to record His revelation to them. They collected these, what we now recognize as the Bible, 66 books spread across centuries, all with a singular theme, the theme of God's redeeming love. And so I just want you to think about, and I appreciate Galen's challenge this morning to all of us to be reading God's Word. And so the fact it's been around a long time, people have tried to discredit it. It's been analyzed and criticized, and it remains. It remains because it is God's Word. It's the record of His revelation of Himself to us. The Bible, the doctrine that the Bible alone is the ultimate authority, was the formal principle of the Reformation. In 1521, at the historic interrogation of Luther at the Diet of Worms, he declared his conscience to be captive to the Word of God, saying, and I quote, "Unless I am overcome with testimonies from Scripture or with evident reasons, for I believe neither the Pope nor the councils, since they have often erred and contradicted one another, I am overcome by the Scripture text which I have adduced, and my conscience is bound by the Word of God." So it has been that through the centuries, God's Word has stood the test of time. As Baptists, as early as 1925, we would say the Bible was written by men, divinely inspired. It is the record of God's revelation of Himself to man. It is a perfect treasure of divine instruction. It has God for its author, salvation for its end, and truth without any mixture of error for its matter. It reveals the principles by which God judges us, and therefore is and will remain to the end of the world the true center of Christian union and the supreme standard by which all conduct, creeds, and religious opinions should be tried. The criterion by which the Bible is to be interpreted is Jesus Christ. Now, that statement comes from the Baptist Faith and Message, a little from 1925, a little from 1963, a little from 2000. So it's been edited along the way, and I just put together my own version of it for you, for us today. All right? And so we have a long history of letting the Bible be the standard by which we operate. It is the authority for faith and practice. Now, Baptists love the Bible. I wish we would read it as much as we love it. All right? That's very, very, very important that it not remain a closed book. And that brings me to the second reason why we should affirm the Bible as God's standard for us, and that is history. His story. The Bible is the record of God's revelation of Himself to humanity. And because I believe in the authority of Scripture and its truth, what I want to do over the next few minutes is just let the Bible speak for itself. It has stood the test of time, so let's let it speak for itself. The Bible tells us that in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is God-breathed. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the people of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It is this, all Scripture is God-breathed. Its very essence is from God alone. And Paul tells us that not only does it come from God, find its source and origin in the heart of God, that it is profitable for in many ways for us. It is useful to us for teaching, and in a few minutes, your Sunday school teachers are hopefully going to open their Bible and share a lesson with you. And if they only open their quarterly, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your Bible and kind of shake it at them, all right? I think we have good Bible teachers. They may have the quarterly aside on there, the literature in hand, but I think you'll find lots of them using the Bible. And if you don't, we're going to help them get there this morning, right? So it's useful for teaching. It's also useful when I need a correction. Sometimes I'm reading the Bible and God just rebukes my heart. Because of sin that separates me from Him. Sometimes His rebuke is because of omissions. And when He calls those things to my attention, He also with His own word offers a correcting word. And so each time God points out some of my flaws, which is daily, from His word also offers me a corrective. So it takes that which I'm guilty of and replaces it with something that will honor God in my life. And so He corrects the way that I think, the way that I live, the way that I process information. So it's not information processed through pride or greed or selfishness. God speaks to all of us in these ways. And so Paul says it's useful. It's useful for training. And the purpose of all of this is that so that each and every believer will be thoroughly equipped to do the work that God's called us to do. He has given us the operations manual. In the days before I wore it out, I always, and then I couldn't find another one to replace it. I, for years, carried a blue covered Bible. Because practically every industry has its blue book that sets a standard for that industry. Well, when I wore the other one out, I couldn't find a blue cover, so I had to settle for this black cover. You know. But it's not the cover that makes it the standard. It's the content that makes it the standard, that equips our lives for His service. This Word of God, according to the psalmist, is in Psalm 19, verses 7 and 8, the psalmist says, "The law of the Lord is perfect." Now, you can't hardly beat that word, right? The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. See, our souls are dead. Paul says we're dead in our trespasses and sins. But the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy. I love this descriptor. Making the simple wise. I need all the help I can get. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. You see, it's in difficult times. These words bring joy to the hearts of struggling believers in Jesus. Because His Word is perfect, trustworthy, and right. Peter would remind us that in 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Through the centuries, God would come upon the prophets, the authors of the Scriptures, and He, through the power of His Spirit, would instill into them His revelation that they would record so that it could be passed upon along to us, so that we in our day could receive the same word that they had received. Wasn't their ideas, wasn't their interpretation. It was God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, inspiring, filling them, breathing into them His very word that they would record and pass along to us. Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6 says, "Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Do not add to His words, or He will rebuke you and prove you a liar." Okay, so the proverb reminds us, let the word be the word. Let the word be the word. I believe that Jesus is the greater revelation, and that the Bible is really all about Jesus. And when you read through Scripture, it's the story of God's redeeming love from Genesis through Revelation. It is God's attempt to get human beings to respond to His incredible love. And the author of Hebrews tells us that in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets, and at many times and in various ways, but in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, that through Him, whom He made the universe, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. And after He provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. The Bible tells us the story, His story. The story of God's incredible love for us, demonstrated most graphically in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to be the Lord of our lives. So I want to give you a word picture this morning. Yeah, from time to time you play these, you see these word games where there are pictures, and you got the picture and you try to figure out what the word is. Anybody do that? Okay, so I'm going to give you the picture, and you tell me what the word is. Anybody have a clue? Huh? All right. The Bible, that's one good guess. What? God's Word. Now, you've got to see the whole picture.
God's Word overall.
All right. Now, here we go. Find the button. Okay? Am I not standing under? This is understand. Okay. Do you understand that this is God's Word? It is the standard for our lives. And it interprets our lives. You know, sometimes we think we interpret the Bible. That's only part. More realistically and more accurately, the Bible interprets our lives. It is the sole standard for faith and practice. We live under God's Word, not over it. God's Word peers into our lives and reveals truths about us that we will only know by God's revelation through His Word. The Bible dissects our lives so that we can learn just how incredible God's love is for us. His story is a story of God's transforming love. And the Bible is that story. So I want to encourage you to love it, to learn it, and to live it. Because it is the single standard for our lives and for our faith and practice. And it is sufficient to lead us to Jesus. And when it leads us to Jesus, He will transform our lives. And I encourage you this morning, let it be your guide to the best possible life you can live now, and a life that lasts forever. Now, earlier, we talked about the eclipse and God's incredible love for us and the image that was. And I said to you then, we're going to invite you to receive God's incredible gift. It's a gift we learn about in His Word. And so, I want you to stand, and we're going to sing Trust and Obey. And as we sing this song, I encourage you, if you've never given your life to Christ, to do so at this time. As we sing, step out from where you're standing and come and share with us your decisions this morning. Perhaps today, the Lord, Spirit of the Lord's been speaking to you, and you've been worshiping with us for a while, and His call in your life is to join with us. We exist to fulfill the Great Commission by loving people into a growing relationship with Jesus. Come and join us. We would receive members at this time. Likewise, just step out from where you're standing. Come here at the front and share with me your decision. While we sing this Trust and Obey, would you respond to the Spirit's call in your life this morning?
When we walk with the Lord in the light.